Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Imagine next week if our nation, our country, our state, our land, all of our cities were ripped away from us. Imagine if our homes were destroyed, our families scattered, all of the things we enjoy in life, our favorite eating spots gone, our workplaces utterly abandoned, our church building tore down, with no chance of it ever being restored again. Now imagine that all that would have been necessary to avoid that happening was to acknowledge that God had come in His grace and His mercy, desiring repentance, that He came with a salvation as a gift, and that your lives of persistent sin and living as if God was not going to judge the world needed to change. This is what the Jewish people in the year of our Lord 70 experienced. Their homeland, their city, their temple, their entire existence, their entire mentality of how their lives were organized was wiped out by the Romans. But it wasn't really the Romans that did it. The Romans were just doing what God had said needed to be done. God used those Romans to judge Jerusalem. God had warned the Jewish people. We hear of that today. Jesus wept today while He pronounced this word of judgment to come that would happen just 40 years after He spoke it. He came into Jerusalem that Palm Sunday, that is, that first start of Holy Week. He came weeping because God, Jesus, loved that place. He had come to the temple over and over again, not only in His incarnate life, but before that, through His word and the sacrifices. But yet His people did not regard it anymore by repentance and living new lives. He had sent them prophets to warn them. And they rejected those prophets that the Lord had sent, and they preferred to set up for themselves lying prophets who prophesied lies in God's name, saying, "Peace, peace," when there was no peace, comforting secure sinners, telling them that no, their sins were no concern, that God was not really upset with them, and no danger, nothing bad will happen to them. You heard that 2 weeks ago, you heard it again this morning from Jeremiah. That finally God came to them Himself in the flesh. And they rejected His visitation. That literally at the close of that Holy Week, they had come and they'd come to complete their plans to destroy Jesus, killing God. Now it does not give God any pleasure to chastise, but He does it out of love. The Scriptures teach us over and over again, He does not delight in the death of the wicked. But He wishes, He wills that they would turn from their ways and repent and have life. That Jerusalem and its self-made religion of works, abandoning the Lord their God for what they wanted for themselves, living for this earthly life, doing what made earthly sense to them, working for rewards even in their religion, this impenitent, stubborn way of life reaped its reward, the eventual and yet certain wrath of God. But this text is not written for you to be able to ponder what happened to the Jewish people as a matter of history or a matter of fascination. The 10th Sunday after Trinity is given this text because this Sunday in the church year often will occur in August, the very month that Jerusalem was destroyed. That the church chose in its wisdom to set this lesson up to bring that warning of Christ and its fulfillment in the destruction of Jerusalem into your life. Here and now, because Christ has also spoken about our future. That these things are written even as a warning to you. That 2 weeks ago you were warned by your Lord Jesus Christ to beware of false teachers. The Lord's own command, beware, because false teaching will misguide you away from Him. Last week you were encouraged to live your earthly lives with heavenly goals in mind. Did you try that this week? Maybe you weren't here to hear it. So how would you know what God's word had encouraged for your piety and spiritual life this last week? Now this text is for you and for me then. That the Jews of old had God's gracious visitation and they rejected it. They despised God's word. The things of peace were put right before them, literally incarnate in front of them. But they preferred war because they trusted their own works. They lived as though judgment would never come for their impenitent attitudes and behaviors. Dr. Luther calls this a great sin. That it's a great sin to live as if God's judgment will never come. And yet we know, because God's word is true, that there is judgment yet to come. How many teachings from God's word teach us about the end of all things? And yet, do you find yourself living with that in your mind each day? Does that help you to cause you to change the way that you might view the priorities in your life, to how you might change the way you use God's creation? Does it help you focus and maybe wonder about your nonchalant view toward your sins? That these words were written that you would repent. That you can't keep living as if Christ has not told us what is yet to come. That each so-called natural disaster, whether it's hurricanes, tornadoes, fires, whatever. Each personal hardship, whether just struggles in normal life, or whether a bad diagnosis from the doctor. Each trauma that we find ourselves in or even hear about in others' lives. Each reminder of our own mortality. Each situation where we see others in danger or trial, each time a sin is caught in our own conscience and we're reminded of it, they are all calls for repentance for each and every one of us. That we would see what really matters. Because whether you believe it or not, whether you live like it or not, there is judgment coming. But as of right now, it is not here yet. Jesus spoke about the Jewish people, that they had not known the day of their visitation. The coming of Jesus into Jerusalem that Palm Sunday was meant as a gracious visitation, a merciful and forgiving visitation, a time of repentance. That is the gathering that he speaks of elsewhere. That He, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, 4 days before the Passover, which, if you know your Old Testament, is the day when the lambs would be gathered up for the Passover, that 4 days before it, our Lord Jesus Christ enters Jerusalem. Because he was going to be the Lamb of God once and for all, the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. That the Jews had rejected him, literally preparing to destroy him, preferring instead their way of righteousness, which brought no salvation but only condemnation. Now, our error is usually not the same, that we don't strive for works righteousness. But ours is on the other end of the same spectrum, however. Ours is to think that the day of our Lord's gracious visitation will go on forever without end. This is plainly and simply not what the Bible says or teaches in lessons like today's. This lesson reminds us that there is judgment coming. This lesson, however, then also teaches us the heart of God, that Jesus did not want Jerusalem gone. How long had he put up with this city and its people rebelling against him? He did not want such judgment to befall her. The same, of course, goes for you and for the whole world, even the openly wicked. He desires that you and every one of the wicked in this world would turn from their sin and repent. But he is still the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That every last disaster that sin brings, every last promise of judgment for sin and impenitence, Christ would gladly, willingly, lovingly put it aside. And he's proven that attitude of his by shedding his own blood for it. That Jerusalem could still be the city it once was, even today, not torn apart by God through the Romans and rebuilt by civilizations later. If it only had known the things that make for peace, if it only had known the day of its visitation, all your sins, however great or however how many they are, the judgment they have earned does not have to befall you. And indeed, in Christ's blood, it should not befall you. Because Christ himself has shown you what he thinks of you. He is your sacrificial lamb. We know exactly what exactly the city of Jerusalem would do to him that week. And he did that. He went through that out of love for his Father and for them and for you. That his blood was shed that you would not receive judgment. He then taught in their temple that whole week these words. He, of course, then taught his word to you. He gave us his Holy Spirit to inspire men. And he inspired men like Luke to write down these things, that you would hear them and believe them, that your life would be one full of repentance and faith or trust in him, and then bearing then the fruits of repentance, knowing heavenly things and knowing the judgment of all things that is certainly coming and believing and acting accordingly. You see, you are not given to just hear this today and go on without regard for the state of repentance in your own heart, your own life, your own conduct bearing fruit accordingly. You must know that no one who despises God's word will escape God's punishment. That yes, that means the crassly, openly wicked of the world, but that also can certainly include you or me, who hide our wickedness from open view. That God will punish. And it is a mercy that he waits, that he's long-suffering, he's slow to anger, seeking our repentance, sending his word and his spirit to bring us back. Because if he punished right away, of course, none of us would live. But he has come and he's visited you today. The Lamb of God himself has brought you to this house of prayer, that you would hear of his gracious visitation and then see it still going on yet today. And maybe today is the last day of gracious visitation. But you have heard today. You have been reminded of his grace, which he shows to you. You will taste and you will see it soon in the supper. That these are the very things of peace, and they're all given today. And God has gathered you, and he wants to keep you in them. That grace has been shown, and may it never be shown in vain. That Christ Jesus is the Lamb of God, your Savior. That there is a way of righteousness that has been set before you. A way of righteousness by faith in Jesus. That in this, the guilt of your sins is taken away. That Jesus' blood and righteousness has put your judgment away. That Jesus is your refuge and your strength in each and every time of trouble. That Jesus is your new life every time you need to fight against your flesh, the world, or the devil himself as they seek to God have you take God's grace in vain. That Jesus has promised to hear your pleas for all help as you pray to him going through this earthly life with heavenly mindedness. That Christ Jesus, the one who lamented, wept over Jerusalem, who still went into Jerusalem as that Lamb of God, fulfilled all that was necessary, sacrificing himself for the sake of every last sinner, so that sinners who are at war with God might have peace with God instead, peace obtained by his own blood. That Christ Jesus is also coming back in judgment. That every earthly thing that you know will not last, including this country and all the other earthly things we hold dear and receive as good and gracious gifts from our God. That you are to live these gracious days, these gracious days of our Lord's gracious visitation in view of that last day. And all that you receive now is a pure gift, but then also with the mindset of that last day and also all the days, the eternal days that come after it as a pure gift for believers like you. That you are like the faithful back then, who are mentioned by Luke as well as those who wanted to destroy Jesus, that you would be like the faithful back then, gathering to Christ and hanging on his words, relying upon his teaching, his doctrine, most assuredly including that blessed gospel that he is the Lamb of God, your Lamb, but also his teaching about what is yet to come and his teaching about how we have help even now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.